All right, Rosai, let's get started. So Baruch Hashem, it is a schos to continue in Hilchos Bishul. So I posted the last two shiurim on the WhatsApp group. excuse me, earlier today. So this is really our third installment of Bishul. We're going to focus for Chodesh Elul. We're going to focus on Bishul. I think we only need a couple of more shiurim Meretz Hashem to complete it. If you're joining us now again, tonight's going to be a self-contained unit by itself. So even if you didn't hear the first two shiurim, you're still good for tonight. So tonight we're going to begin. We're going to try to actually cover two topics. Let's begin with source number one. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Shulchan Aruch Harav, Avalo lo hoshiv kider betchil b'Shabbos al akira. So one is not permitted to put a pot of food on the stove lechatchila b'Shabbos. So let me just explain to you what's happening over here. This is the topic that's called Nesina lechatchila. Now I'll say, so imagine the following situation. Imagine for a moment I have a pot of fully cooked food, right? So remember again, we've established already in past shiurim that halacha l'maisa, once you have what we call a davar yavish, a solid food item that is fully cooked, it is no longer subject to bishul. So a very simple example, I have a piece of meat. The meat is fully cooked. It is fully cooked. Now again, definition of fully cooked, again, we spoke about also, at least Kamecha ben Jerusai, but let's assume right now fully cooked means fully cooked, okay? So now again, assuming there's no gravy, nothing, we'll stay out of gravy issues, because gravy presents its own issues, which we'll discuss in Meretz Hashem. I have a fully cooked piece of meat. Once that piece of meat is fully cooked, then midda oraisa, it is no longer subject to the halachos of bishul. So therefore, again, there is no way to biblically transgress anything with that piece of meat. So now, what the Shulchan Aruch Harav deals with the following situation is as follows. So imagine for a moment, it's Shabbos morning, and I know my piece of meat is fully cooked. I also paid attention in Shir, so I know ein bishul achar bishul. There is no cooking after cooking, right? Once something is fully cooked, as long as it's subject to bishul, so I have a great chop. I'm just going to put it back right on the fire. I just want to heat it up. There's no more cooking to be done to it. So I just want to put it right back on the fire. That is called, in halacha, nesina lechatchila. Placing food on a fire on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, now Luachi says, aval, lo lehoshiv kidera betchila b'Shabbos al akira, af apishi be'inyan shein bamishum iser bishom. Shulchan Aruch Harav says as follows, you cannot put, now he's dealing with a pot of food, you cannot take a pot of fully cooked food and place it on a fire on Shabbos, even if the food is fully cooked. Kigon, shimish v'shalas kvar kol tzarcha, shein bishul achar bishul. So why is this? If you skip down a little bit, he says, Shahari Zenira, last line, I'm skipping for a reason, Shahari Zenira, Kimavashal lechatchila b'Shabbos. Shabbos say now we are being introduced to a new concept, which is actually going ahead and frame a lot of our Hilchos Shabbos. The concept of mechsei kimavashal. Mechsei kimavashal means an activity that looks like you are cooking, even though halacha l'maisa there is no cooking. Shabbos say, remember again, if you have a pot of meat and the meat is fully cooked, let's assume no liquids right now, right? Just fully cooked solids. And I'm asking you halachic challenge now. You take that piece of meat, you put it on a fire on Shabbos. Have you transgressed anything? Have you transgressed? No. Not certainly not daraisa in bishul achar bishul. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav introduces us to, but there is an issur derabanan. What's the issur derabanan? Mechsei kimavashal. That on Shabbos you cannot engage in activities that appear like cooking. Yeah.
Not a
marasayan. Mechsei kimavashal is a din derabanan in bishul. Din derabanan bishul. Yes. No, we don't even know the word blech yet. Blech doesn't exist in our halachic lesson. They were talking literally, I have an open flame, and I put it right on the flame. So again, it's just important to understand, see, to us, to be honest, like, we would never dream of doing this. If somebody were to ask you, can you do that on Shabbos? You say, of course not. If somebody were to press you and say, well, why not? Why not? The food is fully cooked. It's not subject to bishul. What's the issue? The answer is mechsei kimavashal. It has the appearance of cooking. So from here, Shulchan Aruch Harav introduces us to this concept that even if something is not asr alts bishul, if it has the appearance of cooking. And so again, what is the paradigmatic definition or what is the paradigmatic appearance of cooking? Paradigmatic appearance of cooking? Putting food on a fire. putting food on a fire. Right? There's no more paradigmatic example of cooking. Therefore, it's going to be asr. Even though, really, me'ikra adin, there is absolutely no problem of bishul in this situation. So we'll say, so therefore, halacha l'maisa, under no circumstances on Shabbos are you ever permitted to put food on an open flame. This becomes the isra of what we call the sino lechatchila. You are never permitted to put food on an open flame, even if for argument's sake there's absolutely no problem of bishul. Incredible. So I'll say, so now, there's an interesting exception to this rule, but it's not really an exception, it's a qualification. Take a look at number two. Shulchan Aruch writes, what about the following case? Mutter loses api kaderes chamin b'shabes, tafshoshen is bashal me'erev shabes kol tzarcho lechamimon, lefi shein derech b'shal bakach. What about the following scenario? I have a pot of food on the open fire. A pot of food on the open fire, right? So again, it's just sitting on the open fire. Shabbos morning, can I take food? Could I take, and by the way, it doesn't have to be Shabbos, right? It's Shabbos night also, but it was illustrating it. I have fully cooked food. Can I put fully cooked food on top of that pot that is resting directly on top of the fire? Right? So again, remember, we don't know anything about a blech right now. There's no blech discussion. We're talking about pot A is a pot of food directly on the fire. Let's say, I'll give you a simple example. Can you smoke a brisket on a flame? Is there such a thing like that? No, then it's not smoking. It's not smoking. Cholent. I know, but I want to dafka use an example of something you're not even going to use for Shabbos. Whatever. You're making a stew that's sitting on the stove. It's going to sit there through Shabbos. I'm not taking it off. It's going to sit there through Shabbos. So I have a pot of food. Whether or not you're allowed to do that, we'll discuss. So I have a pot of food sitting on top of the fire. Sitting on top of the fire. So I'm not touching it. I'm not using it. I now want to take Shabbos food and put it on top of that pot that's on top of the fire. Am I allowed to do that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's mutter. It's mutter. Yes?
What's the difference between a
kedera
and a kedera chamina?
Excellent. Hold on for just a second. Why is that mutter? Sheid derech bishul b'kach. Shulchan Aruch says, because that is not the way people cook. People do not cook. People cook by placing food on top of a flame. People do not cook by placing food on top of a pot that's on top of the flame. So it's interesting. So you see, on one hand, in number one, the Shulchan Aruch Harav said, on Shabbos, you are never permitted to put anything on an open fire, because mechseh kimevashal. Right? It has the appearance of cooking. In number two, the Shulchan Aruch says, but if you have a pot of food on an open fire, you could put some food on top of that pot in order to heat it up, because no one cooks like that. No one cooks like that. It's ein derech bishul abakach. So the Mishnah Berurah number three writes, he says, shein derech bishul abakach, rosa lomar. Da'af tekaim alon sha'as v'litin l'chatchila b'shabbos halakira. Even though we just said before that you're not allowed to put food on an open flame on Shabbos, afilu nispashal kol tzarech avu davar cham v'gam akira grufa k'timu, we'll leave that later. Hatam yishum dinira kem v'ashal b'shabbos derech bishul abakach. So remember again, you know, on one hand, you're not allowed to put food, even fully cooked food, on an open fire on Shabbos, because that has the appearance of cooking. Aval hocha ein derech bishul bekach ayde hefsek kedera ve'ein nira kimavashal. So we'll say, no one cooks this way. No one cooks this way. Because no one cooks this way, therefore again, Nabosa, again, we're always assuming what? We're assuming that whatever you're putting on top of that pot is what? It's fully cooked. We're also assuming, by the way, that the area on top of the pot reaches the temperature of Yad Sola Dispo. Because remember, again, if the temperature on the pot is not Yad Sola Dispo, then the truth is no one really cares what's happening there because it's not capable of cooking anyway. So we're making a lot of assumptions over here. So therefore, halacha number one, can never put food on an open flame even if the food is fully cooked. But if you have, this is actually a very important halacha to know, because sometimes this happens where whatever it is, a person forgets to put on a blech, even though we don't know what a blech is yet, right? But a person forgets, and for some reason there is something on the fire. So halacha lemaisa, one is permitted to put food, fully cooked food, on top of a pot that's on an open flame, because it's ein derech bishulo bekach. This is not the normal way to cook. Now, to Rabbi Yaakov's point, I will say something very interesting. If you look over here at number four, he says as follows. He says, Sha'iri ba'omedas agabe kedir eschamin. Now, as Rabbi Yaakov accurately pointed out, Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch says, is mutar loseis api kedir eschamin b'shabbos. So if I have a pot, chamin means what? Food, right? Again, it's not really food specific. It just means there's food in the pot. There's food in the pot. The Be'er Halacha says, this heter of Kedera, what we call Kedera Gabi Kedera. This heter to put food on top of a pot that is situated on an open fire only works when there's food in the lower pot. There has to be food in the lower pot. She'ari ba'omedes agabi kedera schamin o tafshil lo nechshav klal ke'omet al gabi kira. It is only when there is food in the lower pot that then the food that is put on top of the pot, it almost has like no shaykhus with the fire. Has no shaykhus with the fire. However, again, he says, "Lahachim motaf litan lechatchila b'shabbes." And by the way, I just want to point out the Bar Halacha says this is motaf even lechatchila. Lechatchila on Shabbos, you're allowed to take fully cooked food and put it on top of a pot that's on top of a fire, provided that the bottom pot has food in it. Because in that case, it has absolutely no appearance as cooking. What's being cooked, or where's the cooking happening? The cooking is happening in the lower pot because there's food in it. Then you can put stuff on top of it. However, but the Bar Halacha says, if the bottom pot is empty, you cannot put anything on top of that. Now, don't draw conclusions from this to what we do on a blech, right? Again, that's what I'm saying. You have to, in your mind, separate these halachas right now. This is talking about an uncovered flame. So on an uncovered flame, halacha l'maisa, can never, on Shabbos, can never put food directly on an uncovered flame, even if that food is fully cooked. Halacha two, if you already, from before Shabbos, have a pot of food on a flame, you could put something on top of that pot, provided that it's fully cooked, to warm it up, and provided that there is food in that lower pot. Because as long as there's food in the lower pot, the act of putting something on top of the lower pot does not have the appearance of bishul. Masha Enkein, if the bottom pot is empty, then what, Rabosai? Then what? Then it does look like bishul. Why? Because it looks like that bottom pot is simply like a heat diffuser, right? In other words, it's just there somehow to conduct heat, and that actually would be problematic. Okay, fascinating. Fascinating. Another interesting answer. So all of this is dealing with if I have an uncovered fire, right? So what are my options if I have an uncovered fire? So if I have an uncovered fire, right, and I have nothing on it, I don't really have any options. I'll take that back. We will have an option. But if I have a pot of food on that flame, then I have an option. I can put something on top of that pot, provided that, again, there's food in the bottom pot, and the food I'm going to put on top of the bottom pot is fully cooked. Yes?
Steaming vegetables. Is that the same?
Well, if they're raw, right? If they're raw, then that's for sure going to be usser, because that's cooking. That's cooking. Reheating steamed vegetables, you know, potentially could be done, but you'd have to just be careful with whatever residual moisture may be there. But steaming it like from the beginning would be an act of cooking. So we'll say one other interesting thing or opportunity thing. One other interesting possibility over here is in number five. Listen to this. Davar shenis bashal kol tzarcho v'yavish sarabosei. So now, let's talk about the following scenario, right? I have my meat, right? And it's Shabbos morning. I'd like to warm it up. The problem is, I don't have a covered fire. All I have is an uncovered flame. And let's say, for argument's sake, I have no pot on that flame. So what are my options? So this is actually interesting. The Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a fully cooked, solid item, right, where there's no liquid involved, mutar lahanicho kineged hamadura, afilu b'makum shayad sola despo. So this is interesting. What can you do? You could place fully cooked food in proximity of a fire. So in other words, I can't put food on top of an uncovered fire, but I can put food next to. I'll tell you what, interesting, where could this come up? Like a fireplace, right? So again, I have food that I want to warm up. I don't have a covered fire. So I want to put food next to the fireplace. So like this, the Shulchan Aruch says, as long as the food is fully cooked, right? It's a solid, there are no liquids, it's fully cooked, you could do it. Why can you do it? It doesn't have the appearance of cooking. In other words, we'll say that's not how people cook, right? It doesn't have even the appearance of cooking, and therefore Allah Chalamai said that'll be permitted. The Rama adds in over here, he says, afilu nitzanim legamrei, aval murosech, afilu b'davar sheish b'marach. So by the way, Abosai, when we speak about you can't do this with liquids, the only time you can't do it with liquids is when? If the liquids cool down. If, let's say, I'll give you just a simple example. Let's say I'm having soup, and for whatever the reason, I left soup on an open flame going into Shabbos, right? So Erev Shabbos shouldn't do it, but let's say I did it, because technically it could be mutter. We'll discuss, we don't do it, but it could be mutter. I leave soup on an open flame, Okay, then Shabbos comes, Friday it comes, I take the soup off, I'm serving soup, and I say, you know what, I'd like to have more soup, but it's not hot like I like it. As long as it hasn't cooled down. Now, can you put that soup back onto the flame if it hasn't cooled down? No, because you can't put anything ever on an open flame. What you can do is take the soup pot, move it close to your fireplace. Put it close to your fireplace. And obviously, again, just the proximal heat of the fireplace will go ahead and cause the soup to heat up. So again, remember, liquids, you always have to be careful. So you have to make sure that soup is still hot, or at least still warm, that has some of its initial residual heat. As long as it has some of its residual heat, or for that matter, again, if you want to stay from liquids, just go with solids. You want to heat up a solid, even Shabbos morning. You have a piece of dry meat that you want to heat up. You can't put it on the open fire. You want to put it by the fireplace and let it heat up like that. That works. The only thing is, over here, interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah comments over here. He says, first of all, he says, why is this mutter? Number six, he says, Hatam, dechevan shekvar nispashel, shuv ein bazem vishum chashash bishel, umiyu ala eish asr midirabanon, bibnei shenira kimibashel. So we'll say, you see this tension, that on one hand, we're never going to let you put anything on top of the fire. Why not? That's the appearance of cooking. But yet, we'll let you do things that heat food up as long as it's clear that it's a non-normative form of cooking. So putting food on top of a pot that's on the fire. Putting food next to a heat source. No one cooks like that. So because of that, technically speaking, it's going to be mutter. Interesting. Now, in number seven, I just want to point out, he does quote the Rush over here. The Rush says that when you put that pot of soup or you put that piece of meat next to the fire, the Rush says you can't put it right next to the fire. The Rush holds that there has to be a little bit of distance between the food and the fire. Otherwise, the Rush feels that if the food is too close to the fire, then it is mechzei kimavashal. Interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really seem to. Mishnah Berurah picks up. He says that that's why the Shulchan Aruch says neged hamadura and not eitzel hamadura. That eitzel would mean you could put the food right next to the fire, and neged means the food has to be distanced a little bit. So that seems to be the halacha, that you could warm up the food by placing it next to the fire. So I'll say, again, these halachas are interesting because you never know. Again, during the winter months, a person has a fire going, a fireplace. You know, again, it's interesting to note that potentially you could use that fire to potentially heat up food, as long as the food is not put right next to the fire, a little bit of a distance, and of course, assuming that if it's a solid, it's fully cooked, if it's liquid, it's fully cooked, and is still warm. Good. So we'll say, so that pretty much covers the halachas of Nesilut HaTchila. So what do we walk away with? Number one, can never put food on an open flame on Shabbos, even if fully cooked, even if it's liquid and it's still hot. Mechzikim Mevashal. Number two, if you have a pot of food on top of an open flame, you could put fully cooked food on top of that pot, because ein derech bishul b'kach, no one cooks that way, and therefore it's mutter. Similarly, you could place fully cooked food next to a fire, next to a heat source, not directly, that's going to be a little bit of a distance, and allow it to heat up like that. Why? Because again, ein derech bishul b'kach, this is not the normal way to cook. Beautiful. Rabosei, which now leads us into source number eight. Rabosei, so now in 8 through 13, through the rest of this year, we're going to focus on the halachos of shehiyah. So what shehiyah means, so remember, whereas in source number one, we were focusing on the ability to place food lechatchila on a flame on Shabbos. Right, that's what number one was dealing with. I'm taking food out of the refrigerator, although it doesn't have to be out of the refrigerator. I'm taking food and I want to place it on a flame on Shabbos. So that, everyone's in agreement, you can't do. What about placing food on an open flame Erev Shabbos? Erev Shabbos. So I want to put food on a flame or Erev Shabbos and go into Shabbos like that. That process, whether we'll see if that mutter or usher, that's called shehiyah. Shehiyah means to maintain. I want to place food on an open flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Look what so we'll say, this is fascinating. This is actually one of the most intriguing discussions in Hilchos Bishlus. Here we go. Kira. Source number eight. Kira. I will say, by the way, I'm also not getting into the different halachic cooking apparatuses of a kira and the tanner. For our purposes, a kira is going to be a stove, a tanner is going to be an oven, and we're just going to keep it like that. So kira. So if you have a stove Im huska begefes shu psula shel zeisim o be'etzim. So if you heated up the stove, or the stove or the oven for that matter, with gefes is olive pulp, right? Olive pulp conducts heat, so you could use olive pulp as a heat source, or with wood. So what's the halacha? Aser litin alea tafshil mi be'od yom, lash hos alea. So if you have an oven or a stove, call it a stove, that is powered, right, that is heated by either olive pulp or by wood, you can't place food on that open flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Not allowed to do that, right? Why? Cheshinon Shema Yichate. We are concerned about saying, what's going to happen? If we allow you to go ahead and maintain food on this stove with the olive pulp heat source, with the wood heat source, what are we concerned about? That you may come to stoke the heat source. Now I will say, now there are two potential issues involved right now. Why would you stoke the heat source? Why would you do that? Right? To hasten the cooking process. So again, and if you stoke the heat source, what have you violated? So number one is mavir, kindling. And number two could be bishel. Right, if the food is not fully cooked, and you do, we've shown this. Remember again, cooking means also, the definition of bishel is also anything that accelerates the cooking process is also called bishel. So halacha l'maaseh, as well said, it's fascinating. So therefore, again, if you have an oven or a stove that uses a an alterable heat source, right? So that you can go, then halacha l'maaseh. You can, a heat source that can be manipulated, you cannot maintain food on that Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, because we are concerned that you will come to go ahead and potentially stoke it. That's what we're concerned about. Chayshinu Shema Yechata, and we'll say Lashon Shema Yechata. We're afraid you might stoke it. Va'asu la'ashol sa'ala, el'im kein garuf, da'haynu shotzim en akal ha'gecholim, o katam, haynu shekisa ha'gecholim, ba'afra l'mayit chumam. So we'll say, so what do you do? So now, here's the problem. Let's say this is the stove that I have, right? This is the stove that I have. And obviously, I need to maintain food on my stove Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, right? Why? Because I want hot food Shabbos night. And maybe you daven at a shul that has a ridiculously long Kabbalah Shabbos, right? So by the time you get home, it's already very late, right? So l'mayis, again, I need my food to be, I should only be so lucky, right? I want my food to be hot. So now I need to keep my food on the stove. But yet, the halacha just told me, I can't keep food on a stove with a heat source that can be manipulated because there's a concern. I'm going to come home from shul, what's going to happen? Unknowingly, I'm going to mess around with the olive pulp. I'm going to mess around with the wood in order to satisfy the heat. So if the Shulchan Aruch says, no problem. You want to use this stove, you have one of two options. Before Shabbos starts, either remove the heat source, so remove the olive pulp, or remove the wood. And again, remember, these utensils, kira, these type of Talmudic cooking utensils, were meant to retain heat. So the idea is, even if you removed the heat source, the food could still stay hot. But the idea is either remove the heat source or blanket it with a layer of ash or a layer of dust. Now, by blanketing it with a layer of ash or dust, what that does is it diminishes the cooking ability of this item. Now, we'll see why that is significant and meaningful in just a moment. So take a look at number 9. So this is really an incredible halacha over here. So Mishnah Berurah writes, number 9, Shekisa gecholim, haynu, kol gecholim, vein tzarek, liktom, ad she'in nikar sham ish klal, rak bekisui efer, kol shu milamala p'neim sagi, vafilu v'rish achach shari, odam rasham dafilu hayu gecholim. So now, the idea over here is as follows. The removal of the heat source, I totally understand, right? Why? Because if you remove the heat source, then what? There's nothing to manipulate. What's the pshat? Where if I cover it with a layer of ash, what's the pshat with that? If I'm doing that, then obviously it shows that my intention is not to cook, right? It's clear that if I'm covering the heat source with a layer of ash, then it is clearly not my intention to go ahead and cook at all. That's the svara. And therefore, even a thin layer is going to be, in other words, essentially what am I doing? I'm altering the heat source. The act of altering the heat source and therefore impairing its functionality is enough to go ahead and both serve as a reminder as well as just impair the cooking process. It obviates, it takes away the concern that I potentially may go ahead and manipulate the heat source. Incredible. Well, I just show you something really beautiful. Look what it writes. Ot Amar, Shamda Afilu Hayu Gichalim Shal Rosam. Even if it's coals of rosam wood. I will say, we just had this in Shabbos' daf. Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, remember again, he was traveling in the desert, right? And remember, the two stories. He opened up the piece of meat. He took out the Gidanosha. He put on a bed of herbs. He came back and it closed up. And also, again, he came back a year later and the coals that they used for cooking were still burning. The Gemara says, what kind of coals were those? Rosam. So also, I just want to point out, so you see, oh, look at the Mishnah Berurah, it's just incredible. There's nothing more beautiful than like when the various lanes of your learning intersect, right? And suddenly, again, like my Talmud Torah becomes like this beautiful, comprehensive tapestry of just beautiful spiritual development. So again, we just wrote someone, so he says, even if you're using rosam coals, shenamar li kavos, which extinguish very slowly. Isn't that incredible? Right, the rosam wood extinguishes very slowly. Vatam b'chozeh. And again, Mishra says, why does all of this work? Kevan degila daito delo boi gicholim sagi debevade lo aser lechatuye. So since I've covered the coals, right, since I've covered the wood, I've covered the heat source, I've covered the olive pulp, it's clear ultimately, again, that I don't need it to cook. Because if I needed it to cook, essentially by covering it, I impair its ability to cook. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, that shows that I have no intention of cooking. Because I have no intention of cooking, therefore there's no concern about stoking it.
Hold on.
We're excellent. We're working our way there. Jose, by the way, part of the beauty also of this limud is, because we're doing it sequentially, also you're going to see how all of the principles morph very beautifully into our contemporary realities as well. So watch this. He goes on. He says, fine. So we'll say, so therefore, this is incredibly important, right? So halacha lemaisa, Shulchan Aruch says like this. Just to be clear what we're talking about over here. In this case, I want to put food on the fire Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. I want hot food on Shabbos night. The only way for me to have that is if the food remains on the fire. So again, I saw source number one. I can't put food directly on the fire on Shabbos. So I want to put it on the fire Erev Shabbos going to Shabbos. So I would think, no problem. The halacha says, no, there is a problem. What is the problem? Shemi yichata. We are concerned that maybe you'll manipulate the heat source in an effort to expedite or to accelerate the cooking process. Manipulating the heat source, again, can be a problem of havara, kindling, bishul if the food is not fully cooked. Therefore, again, you can't maintain food on an open flame Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos. Unless, of course, you do something to the heat source to remove this concern. How do you remove the concern of Shema Yichata that you may come to stoke the heat source? How do you remove the concern? Either A, grufa, remove the heat source, or kituma or kitima, put a layer of dirt, right? To put a layer of dirt or a layer of ash on top of the heat source, thereby diminishing its cooking, or really taking away its cooking ability. And therefore, again, obviously, in that case, one is not going to manipulate the heat source as well. So grufa or kituma. I will say, Reis Techai Adam number 10. Very exciting. Afilu davar shema mishum bishul. Imaniach ala tamar al acher shiyusak. Sarich leheniach eiz davar tachas hakedira. Mishum heker shema yichate begichalim. So both say the Chai Adam is one of the first times. Already by the Chai Adam, they're using a different type of cooking apparatus, right? And their ovens are a little bit different. So what does the Chai Adam say? If you want to maintain food on your stove Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, what do you have to do? Tzorech la'aniach eiza davar tachas hakedera. You have to put something underneath the pots. So the Chai Adam says, essentially, this is a new way of covering your heat source. So I want to point out, whereas in the Gemara, how did you cover your heat source? How did you cover your heat source? Or how did you do with your heat source? Obviously, if you remove it, you remove it. But otherwise, what did you do? You covered the heat source, right? So just understand, in the Gemara, what you were doing is you were opening up the oven, the heat source is inside of the oven, and you would put a layer of dust or a layer of ash on top of your wood or on top of your olive pulp. You were covering the heat source. The Chai Adam says, our ovens are constructed a little bit differently. So therefore, what we do contemporarily is we essentially put a covering on top of the heat source, on top of the fire. So you put a covering on top of the fire, between the fire and your pots. I will say, hence the birth of the blech. Blech, what does blech mean, by the way? What does blech mean? Blech is Yiddish for just a piece of tin. Right, a piece of tin, a piece of metal. The piece of metal, right? It's not a davar shebikdusha, right? It's just I guess if you put the kavod Shabbos kodesh on it, you could charge a lot more money for it, right? But lamaisa just means a piece of metal. So already the Chai Adam is talking about placing a piece of metal, something, on top of your fire underneath your pasta. Just to understand, but where does the concept of the blech come from? The blech comes because the blech essentially is the Talmudic form of ketima. Right, ketima was placing a layer of ash, right, a layer of dust on top of the heat source. So again, we do that. What we just do is we put a blech on. Okay, we'll say number 11. The Chazanish. Now, we'll say, I just want to point out, this is not an accepted opinion, but I just think it's exciting to share it. Only because it's always good to have like a chumrah that you can whip out somewhere, right? Not that you're going to use it, but maybe whatever. You could just say, oh, I see, you don't hold of this. You can use it. So the Chazanish says in number 11, Tas shamatechas lo mahani. The Chazanish does not hold of a blech. Chazanish felt that a blech did not work. He says, and actually, his logic is fascinating. He says, "Mipnei shekisui kazed darko bekach ve'ino ma'itechom." He will say, "What's the whole chap?" Right? Let's go back for just a second. What was the whole chap of ketima? Right? When you went ahead and you put your layer of dust on top of the heat source, why did that work? Why did that work? Because it's lowering it, and what it's doing is it's fundamentally altering the cooking process. In other words, you can't cook like that. So again, so therefore I want to say, okay, so put a covering on top of your, fire. The Chazanish says, one second, putting a piece of metal on top of a fire, you know what we call that? Right? A griddle. So Chazanish says, what are you talking about? That is a kli for cooking. In other words, the Chazanish says that he says Tas shamateches lo mahani doesn't work. Shekisvei kazed darko bekach. That is called a griddle, right? A heated piece of metal is used for cooking all of the time, right? Go to any commercial kitchen, and you're going to find a griddle. And what is a griddle? A heated piece of metal. And he says it does not diminish the heat. So because that, I just want to point now, how does the Chazanish reheat food on Shabbos? Okay, we're going to come to that. But the Maizy is just pointing out that not everybody subscribes to the concept of the blech. Yeah.
But
why?
Because you can't get to the heat source.
Why can't you get to the heat source? You can turn the knobs. But his point is, all you've done is you've created a different oven. The concept of Shemi Yechata is not just in the oven, it means ketima means you're doing something that shows that you're not engaging in a normative act of cooking. The Chazanish posits that putting on a piece of metal is considered to be a normative act of cooking. It's darko bekach. No, it's both, but you can only aviyat shemi yechata if you create a non-normative cooking scenario. The Chazanish's point is, so you're right. You technically, in Talmudic, you could not reach the heat source, but all you've done is you've created a different type of normative oven. So pretty much, we're back to number one, then according to the Chazanish, which is essentially going ahead and using an open flame on Shabbos. Yeah, no. The truth is, I don't know anyone who's at that chumrah, but it's just interesting to see. Yes. You don't differentiate like that. In other words, we're not going to start differentiating between you would cook this on here, not this on here. We look at rather cooking in a holistic way. So the Chazanish posits that since cooking on heated metal for some types of food is considered to be the normative act, therefore it's called the normal act of Bishul. You're right. You wouldn't heat up a pot of water like that, but you can't start splicing like that. Although halacha always has to work like in general categories. That's how the Chazanish would see it. So take a look at number 12. So I just want to point out just another interesting idea over here. So again, like I said, besides the people who follow the Chazanish, besides the people who follow the Chazanish, I don't know anyone who follows the Chazanish. But I guess that doesn't make sense, right? So I say again, I don't know, I've never heard of anyone following this Chumrah, but again, and for the Chazanish, I don't know that it's a Chumrah. The Chazanish mamish feels like mitzad halacha, It doesn't work. But again, like I said, just showing it to you because I think it's interesting, but not necessarily, again, something that one will find the kind of practice. I will say, now here's yes. Oh, so let's talk about number 12. Rav Moshe number 12 writes as follows. He says, let's now jump to the contemporary reality, right? So now we'll say, you could trace the entire progression of this topic, right? So we've gone from Grufa and Ketuma in the Gemara to a covering of the Chai Adam to now what we call our contemporary Blech. See, here's the Shaila. If the whole idea over here of the Blech, right, Blech is an extension of Ketima, and the whole Chap of Ketima is that what does Ketima do? Ketima goes ahead and removes the concern of Shema Yechata, that you may come to adjust the heat source. And here's what's interesting. Think about this just a moment. Does a Blech actually address Shema Yechata? Does it address Shema Yechata? Not really, because Shema Yechata contemporarily does not take place on the top of the oven. Where does Shema Yechata take place from? The knobs, the controls. So Rav Moshe writes something very interesting. He says, number 12, Ulefiza, af below kis nabos. What I want to point out is Rav Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was makbid that a blech should cover controls as well. He was makbid that the blech should go and like, and they make blechs like this, that extend down over the controls. And Rav Aaron's logic was, and it makes a lot of sense. He's like, the whole thing is a din in Shema Yechata. Putting something on top of your flame is fine. It definitely creates a shinui, right? And it's definitely aimed derech bishula bekach. But have you obviated the concern that you may come to adjust the heat source?
Because you don't see a heat source, you're not going to come to want to change it.
Who says that it's a din in seeing it? The Pashas and the Gemara also didn't see the heat source.
You saw the fire.
I don't know if you saw it. You felt it. I don't know that it's a din in Re'iyah. I don't know. I didn't think about it that way. I don't think it's a din in seeing it. I think it's a din in being able just to feel what the heat is. So Rav Aaron Kotler was makbid to dafka have a blech that would cover the controls. So Rav Moshe writes in number 12. He says Lefiza af below kisui gamal kaftorim shal yadam aktin megalim elashe yichasirak kaseish levad nami afsheish lahatir the gam bekisui ala ish levad who heker gadol shein daito lachtos lahagdila ish yoser ukimoshino again harbe. So Rav Moshe says the truth is, blech will work even if you don't cover the controls. Why? Because what's the idea over here? What are we concerned about, right? The whole concern of Shema Yechata is what? That in the lapse of awareness, what am I going to do? I'm going to stoke the flame. I'm going to stoke the flame. Rav Moshe says, you got the blech right there. Right? There is a tangible, visible reminder that it's Shabbos. And Rav Moshe says, that is enough. That level of ketima is enough that we are not concerned. We'll say, you know what, a lapse, we're going to see that. To work the controls while under the blech, Rav Moshe says, we're not worried about that. The blech is enough of a hecker, it's enough of a reminder, and therefore, again, one is not going to come to go ahead and do anything. He says, however, he says, Ach Yoser Tov, Shakisui Shalpach HaMatachom Sichasek HaMasakav Torim, Kedishi a hecker, Yeh Gam Mokom Achitu Ikmo HaKatum Shiyesh, Ulai Lachu Shal Yagish Bakisa V'yachta. So Rav Moshe says, the truth is, but, if you can, cover the knobs also. So again, Rav Moshe is saying again, I don't think you have to. I think that having the blech by itself is more than enough. But the truth is, if you can, why not? Why not cover the knobs? That way, again, you've taken away any concern of Shema Yechata. V'afshu davar rachok. And even though, again, it is such like a far-off concern that with the blech, one is going to come to adjust the knobs. Mikol makom, kevan shehetra heker matzino beheker shemakom achitui, ulai davka beheter zeh. Okay. So ultimately, again, so Rav Moshe feels, so you have Rav Aaron Kotler who says you have to cover the knobs. Rav Moshe says, I think it's good to cover the knobs, but Me'ikra Din, you don't have to. It is enough to have the hecker, it's enough to have the reminder and to have the visible ketima on top of the flame itself, and that is going to be enough. I will say, it's interesting, there is another school of thought, but it's a minority opinion, and I've never seen anyone actually accept this halacha l'maisa, that perhaps one could actually accomplish the blech, the yisod of the blech, by what? By only covering the knobs. In other words, what if I just cover the knobs, I don't cover the fire? So the truth is, if you think about it, then me'ikar adin, by covering the knobs, I've directly addressed Shema Yechata. The difference is, the reason why most poskim just reject that is because they seem to hold that ketima has to change the actual body of the fire itself. In other words, it is not just enough to take away the concern of adjusting, but the fire itself has to change. That's why, again, simply covering the knobs by themselves will not be enough. Rather, one has to cover the fire. I just want to end off. I'll show you number 13, something very interesting. And again, this is just more for your own interest. It's not as much halacha maisa. Rav Moshe advances something amazing. Rav Moshe says, I think it's possible that maybe our ovens altogether do not need a blach. That there's no need for a blach contemporarily at all. Why not? Look at number 13. Vihine, listen to this. He says, Vihine, yesh tam godol lomar delo shayach ka. By the way, right now also, we're talking about, stove. Hine yesh tam godol lomar, shelo shayach klal agzer betanuri hagaz shalanu. I'm sorry? We haven't even spoken. Correct. Now, Lapta Chazara, this is all talking about, I want to put food on the fire, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos. Right? Returning food to a fire next week. So we'll say, listen, as Ramosha says, it could be that this whole Gezer Shem Yechata doesn't even apply to our stoves. Why not? This is fascinating. The Hachazinon, Sherak L'Shalo Yechata Ba'Gecholim Gazru, V'lo L'Shema Yaviyu Od Eitzim Kishiyechal Ha'esh. So I will say, this is such a fascinating insight. Rav Moshe said, what were Chazal concerned about? What were they concerned about? They were concerned about manipulation of the heat source, the present heat source, in order to intensify the heat. Interestingly enough, what were they not concerned about? What were they not concerned about? That you're going to go and get more wood, or go or get more olive pulp. Now, why weren't Chazal concerned about that? Why not? Because we'll say, the truth is, think about it, right? When do people make the mistake in Shabbos? In general, when do people make the mistakes on Shabbos? Like in that momentary, episodic moment where something happens so quickly. The act of going to get wood and coming back, going to get olive pulp, wherever you get olive pulp from, right? So olive pulp and coming back, that is a much more prolonged maisa. We are quite confident that by the time you're walking back with that fire, you're going to be like, right, it's Shabbos. With the pulp, Shabbos. So the concern is, the Shem Yechata, how long does it take for Shem Yechata? How long does that take? Instantaneous. It's right there. That's where we're concerned. So Moshe says something amazing. Moshe says, when you go ahead and you turn up the flame on a gas stove, what are you doing? Moshe says, you are not manipulating the present heat source. Rather, what are you doing? You're adding more gas. You're adding more. Rav Moshe says, one could argue that maybe this never fell under the gzera of Chazal. Chazal were only concerned with manipulating the present heat source, not with bringing more fuel. When I turn my fire higher, that is adding more fuel. Now Rav Moshe says, the lumdis is good, but lemaisa we don't accept it. Lemaisa we don't accept it. We'll say, also there's a very good reason we don't accept it, for the simple reason that although the logic is fantastic, but remember, how long does it take you to turn the dial on your stove? Right? Half a second. So that same logic that in a momentary lapse, I could change the fire applies, even though you're right, even though it's different, right? The Gemara's was a concern of a manipulation of an active present heat source, and Chazal were not concerned with adding more fuel on Shabbos. When I turn up my oven, I'm adding more fuel, but the same instantaneity. Instantaneity. I like it. We're going to go with it. Right? The same instantaneity, right, of that ultimately, again, with the Shem Yechata, also applies to the So I'm just pointing out that Rav Moshe makes this logic. He makes this logic. But ultimately, again, Halacha L'maisa, he still holds that really maker idea, we need a blach for our stoves. And Rav Moshe says, if possible, the Chatrila, even to cover the Naubs as well. Rabosai, so good to be back. Shkoyach, everyone. Okay, we're going to continue. So, Meretz, we have two more weeks. Meretz to finish. Bishul, Shkoyach. Next week, Chazara. Returning food to a covered fire.